Lord, we thank you for this portion of the service. We've been so blessed by our dancers, our singers, our musicians, our Sunday school teachers, our prayers. Father, I tell you, Father, you're always topping yourself here. We appreciate what you do and how you're using this church that it's small but mighty. And we thank you, Father, for having such committed and dedicated members, folks that love you, Father, folks that are not ashamed to worship you, not ashamed to cry, not ashamed to lift up their hands, not ashamed to shout and dance. Just, you know, we're all about you, Father. So we want to thank you, Father, that your glory and your anointing will be upon this part of the service. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Would you activate my lapel mic, please? Amen. We need more singers and so if you're on the fence, get off the fence, get on the team, and we need for you to just come out and lend your expertise. I always need teachers and greeters and what have you. And so everybody has a place, and you've got to be consistent. You know, you can't have a guest appearances where, you're here three Sundays and, I mean, one Sunday and you're out three and you got to be consistent with it. Glory to God. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. We started talking last week about fear, F-E-A-R. And fear is one of the things that really hinders us as individuals. And if an individual is hindered, guess what's going to happen? The church is going to be hindered, because the church is made up of individual members that makes up families. Sometimes you're a family of one, or you can be a family of 10. And if fear is hindering you in any way, then you're not going to be all that you can be at home. And if you're not all that you can be at home, we bring that same shortcoming with us to the house of God. And because of that, my belief is that many churches are only operating at 10 to 15% efficiency. Because fear is such so widespread in the body of Christ is that it has limited us to what we can do and what's going on. Because, see, there is such a war. Instead of that scripture, let's go to 2 Corinthians first. And so you have to understand that if you're going to overcome fear, there is a war that is going on. And you may not feel like fighting, but you in it. So you might as well fight back. If you don't fight back, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get beat up and get beat down. There is a war going on out for your mind. It attacks early. Start attacking children when they're elementary school, the attacks start, and then it gets real strong by the time you get to middle school. And then when you get to high school, it's raging then. The attack is raging. And then that's when all of the falling out happens with mothers and daughters and fathers and sons and what have you. And then, you end up getting on a path that takes you on these weird journeys and stuff. And sometimes when you wake up, all of a sudden you're 40 years old, you realize, what happened? Well, it's the enemy, just taking us down these wrong paths. And so we cannot be a fearful people. We have to do everything that we can to resist fear. And I liken it to having a rattlesnake in your house. If you know you had a rattlesnake in your house, you wouldn't say, well, we'll get the snake after dinner. Or in the morning, I'm tired. I guarantee you nobody in here will go to sleep with a rattlesnake in their house. That you got to have evidence. Can't nobody just tell you, I got the snake. You want to have evidence that the snake has been taken care of. You know, you need to see a picture of him slithering in the backyard, gone, or somebody holding up a carcass in their hand. And so it is, you know, if we don't handle fear and these other shortcomings with the same urgency that we would if we had a rattlesnake in our house, you know, we'll get overcome with these things. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then we'll go back to Mark 4 in a moment. 2 Corinthians, because fear is ruling in the house of God. Amen. It's here too. It's here too. You know, we're not immune. It's here too. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Say amen when you get there. Let's start with verse number 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about a man is made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And so even though that we are flesh beings, part of us anyway, the Word of God says that war that's going on, that fight that's going on, it ain't about your flesh. It's a spiritual battle that's going on, and it's between our ears. And fear comes at an early age, and you can have a bad occurrence. And you know, a lot of folks scared of, you know, you got people scared of dead people. You know, you don't want to go to funerals. You know, you can't look in a casket. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff. You know, I'm not calling you crazy. I'm just talking about the attack, how crazy the attack is on our lives and stuff. And and you will wait. You'll be like 40 years old before you go to a funeral because of the fear that comes over you when the thought of dead people. As a matter of fact, the safest people on planet Earth are dead people. You know, y'all don't watch too many Walking Dead and too many horror movies. Ain't nobody getting up, walking around, and gonna be eating you up and all this kind of crazy stuff. And that's why you have to be watching, you know, that's why you got to be particular what you watch on television, because you feed that stuff into your psyche, and then what is not real becomes real to you. And it says, "For though we walk," y'all got Bibles in the back, everybody? Y'all raise them up, let me see them. All right, they don't look open. Jair, y'all Bibles open, man? Well, you can't read her Bible. You four people over. What about your Bible? Is it open? Could somebody have him find 2 Corinthians? Phil, help these young folks out. Thank you, brother. Seriously, I mean, you can't just be, it's like school. You know, you can't just sit and watch the teacher. you don't graduate because of perfect attendance. you got to know something. And it says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare," so glad, look at somebody, say, "I'm glad we got some weapons." But he said, "Now the weapons are not carnal, it ain't about flesh." You see, if we can get past that flesh piece, and we'll talk about that in a moment. We get past that flesh piece, so we stay in the flesh all the time. Argument, folks. So you know, in Ephesians 6 tell us, so you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And what do? We spend all our time what? Wrestling with flesh and blood. It says, you know, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. And so you got to understand that, men and women of God, that the battle, you know, we waste our time arguing with folks. It is a complete waste of time. It stifles, it hinders. Look, the government is a classic example. It's like a conservative versus liberal, Democrat versus Republican, and the loser are Americans. We are losing because we got people in office fighting and don't know how to get along. See, it is okay to disagree. But then after that, let's do what's best for the country and not fall out. It's okay to disagree in this church, but after it's over with, let's do what's best for the church and not fall out. Amen. If you don't know that, you'll spend all your energy and all your time fussing and arguing with folks, and ain't nobody getting no glory out of that but the devil. You know, the devil and this demon got his popcorn sitting and said, well, all right, boys, we got him again. We got him again. So it says, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the word of God says, but they're mighty though, through God, that's why they're mighty, because what? They're through who? God. Through God. The word of God says the pulling down of strongholds. Glory to God. In other words, what is a stronghold? The my definition of it is anything that got a hold on you that you can't get off of you is a stronghold. Amen. You know, if you had any kind of habits, whatever the habit is, you know, that's not a good habit, that's a stronghold. It's like a snapping turtle. You want to get off the snapping turtle off of you, but you can't get it off. Glory to God. That's what a stronghold is. Amen. But we got weapons to deal with that. And then it says something so very important in verse 5. It says, now casting down imaginations. Glory to God. Oh, goodness. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Casting it down. Throw it down. Cast it down. Anybody ever seen anybody on one of the fishing piers around here or down at the old pier or even the right time of the year on Lake Magori with cast nets? You know, when you get a cast net, what do? You throw it. Glory to God. Casting down. In other words, casting down all of these imaginations that you and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, if your imaginations are not lining up with the word of God, cast it down. Now, you may be in the middle of this service right now. We talking about imaginations. We talking about strongholds. We talking about fear. And your mind, your body will be sitting here, and your mind will be at the buffet. Or your mind will be on some X-rated movie that you saw last week. Amen. It'll do that. And so the word of God says when those things come, you have to do what? Cast them down. Because if you don't cast a thought down and you allow a thought to stay with you long enough, you will activate that thought. That thought will become a reality. None of us ever do anything without a thought coming first. Everything that you do comes with a thought. Amen. Can y'all separate? I don't know, y'all. Rashad, can you come sit next to First Lady, please? I mean, Rashad. Jair. All right. Now, don't have me move nobody else. Y'all having too much fun not to have your Bibles open. Amen. Now, make sure he's in the right place. Let's see. Praise God. Let's see what you got to do now. I want to treat these young men as young men, but if they act like five-year-olds, then that's what we're going to do. They're going to treat you five. All right? Praise God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says, now, you know, throw it down. And then it says, now bring into captivity every thought. In other words, if God says that we can do this, You better believe you can do it. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, thoughts, all kind of weird thoughts. I don't care who you are, whether you're the Pope, you've been saved 50 years, 120 years, crazy thoughts come into your mind. And the Word of God says, you know, do something with, you know, we have control over what we allow to stay there. It's like a bird. You cannot stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. Amen. And that's how thoughts are. You have to do something about a thought. What do I do about it? I do not try to counteract a negative thought with a positive thought. What I do is I speak the Word of God over this situation. Amen. In other words, you say, I refuse to think that way. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, some of y'all may be thinking about, you're thinking about, let my air out of my tie. You know, cast that down. Amen. Cast that down. Praise God. So let's go back now to Mark chapter 4. We were talking about fear. But we're going to pause. And so it is so amazing as I do this, I keep seeing something else that's so very important. Because, see, in order for us to be what God has called us to be, we have to be a mature church. What is a mature church? A mature church is a church that will stand on the Word of God. A mature church, you know, what we are called to do here at Victory Church is to produce disciples that will tell others about Jesus. I'm not saying necessarily ministry starting, but that may happen. What I'm saying is that you just share, give somebody some good news. You may see somebody just have this forlorn look on their face at the cashier at the supermarket. And they may be in angst that they may not have enough money to pay for what you've got. You know, you just start having a conversation with them. And then most of the time when people are in distress, they want to talk about it. They'll talk to a complete stranger sometime as to what's going on. And so that will be an opportunity for you to spend an extra $35 to get that person through that line, and not only that, but certainly tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what disciples do. We represent the body of Christ. Amen. And so in order for us to be mature, you know, and produce disciples, we've got to be mature. We can't be a baby church where everybody been saved for 5, 10, and 15, 20 years, but we won't disciple anybody. We won't call anybody. We won't fellowship with folks, but we have to get past that. You got to grow up. Amen. Mature Christians don't have to get hands laid on them every week. Amen. You ought to be doing some hands laid on you. Amen. Glory to God. Mature Christian or a Christian don't have to have somebody to pray for them about everything. You take authority as a believer, amen, and in other words, you say, I got this, you know, meaning you and God, amen. So we've got to come to a point of maturity, but there is a serious roadblock. Everybody understand what I mean when I say roadblock? Teenagers, y'all got me. Y'all understand what a roadblock is? There are roadblocks to becoming a mature. And one of the chief roadblocks is a word called offense. Amen. With people getting offended by the gospel or offended at each other, amen, we will stay stuck if we don't understand how offense works. Amen. Y'all found Mark yet? All right, chapter 4. Amen. Now, see, and I was telling the saints this Wednesday, that's why you need to come on Wednesday, you miss some good stuff. Part of what I do, part of my style is to challenge people. And if you don't know, you're being challenged. See, if Jair don't know, he being challenged, but if he don't understand that, he'll leave out of here mad thinking somebody picking on him. Amen. See, my style is to challenge you. And if you don't understand what's going on that you're being challenged, you will think somebody's picking on you. Amen. And mature Christians don't think that way. They'll say, oh, this is just a challenge. But if you're immature, if you are a baby, you will think, oh, you know, he's picking on me. You say, Mom, I don't want to go back there no more. I had to sit on the front row. You can't do that. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. So I'm constantly throwing out challenges to see what folks going to do. And if folks don't understand it, they'll leave out of here, man. Why he talking about me? Every time he talk about fornication, he be looking over my head. Why he looking over this way? Because if I look over there, somebody over there will be saying it. Amen. See, that's what immature people always think you're out to get them. Glory to God. Amen. We're trying to build a church. You know, it would be insane of me to try to build a church and then consciously try to hurt somebody's feelings. Just think. Now, I got to be smarter than that. Thank you, Jesus. So that offense will get you. Amen. Easy to come, too. One of the reasons the country can't get nothing done. Everybody's offended all the time. Amen. Glory to God. We got to stop paying attention, saints of God. They're just, you know, it's things are changing rapidly on us. Mark chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 14. Mark 4. And it says in verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. Who sows the word? Amen. Glory to God. The word of God is the seed here. And then it says in 15, and these are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, the word of God says, Satan comes when? Not tomorrow. He comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in our heart or in our spirit and in our mind. The word of God says he will snatch it right away. And that's why folks can sit in a church for decades, and if they don't appreciate and accept the whole gospel, they will be spiritual babies all of their life, and they'll get offended at anything that's said because they don't realize that as an under-shepherd, we have a responsibility. Keep your finger there. Glory to God. I'll be there. I'll be right back. Praise God. Keep your finger there. Ephesians chapter 4. See, when you teach one thing, you end up having to teach another thing, and on and on and on and on and on. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. We're coming back tomorrow. We're not just figureheads, pastors and prophets and evangelists and teachers. This is a serious position. One of the things is the church hasn't taught folks how the seriousness and the honor and the respect that goes with the position, because what in the position that I am in as a pastor teacher, I am a under shepherd of the great pastor teacher, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's just like an ambassador for the United States is afforded the same honor and dignity and respect as the president. When he comes, we need to understand that these fivefold offices that we stand in is a very serious office, and we deserve the same respect. Amen. That's why when I don't worry, that's why I go above and beyond the duty to make sure that my life is in check. Amen. You know, ain't no adulterating, ain't no stealing nothing, drinking, smoking, the old folks, many of you say, hoe hopping, ain't none of that stuff going on. Glory to God. And so if you do something, if you don't like something, you got to create a lie about me now. Amen. Because I understand how serious it is. When I accepted this office, one of the first things I said, I ain't playing with this. Because I played with stuff all my life. Amen. And you got to understand this. But see, we are so used to being in churches with corrupt deacons, corrupt preachers, corrupt mothers, corrupt everybody in the church is corrupt. And so there is no level of respect for those that are in the pulpit. Amen. And because you don't respect what's coming out of the pulpit, you don't receive it, and that's why lives are not being changed. Souls are not being saved at the rate that they really should be. Amen. Amen. It's a new day. And it says in Ephesians 4, hopefully you're there, and it says, and verse 11, he, talking about God, he gave some apostles, these are the fivefold ministry gifts, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Amen. Why do we have pastors? Why do we have teachers, et cetera, et cetera? For the perfecting of the saints. In other words, preparation time. When you're here on Wednesday, it's preparation time. When you're here on Sunday, it's preparation time. For the preparation of the saints, what? For what? So that we can look pretty in our dresses and suits and the cars that we drive? No, for the work of the ministry. Everybody in here ought to be doing stuff. Why do I have to ask 100 times for singers and ushers and teachers? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. I'll tell you why. Because we don't respect the house of God. We don't respect the word of God. We don't respect the call of God. You should have to only ask one time, say, we need some teachers. Ought to be a line of folks that want to teach. Say, I don't know how to teach, but use me. Glory to God. See, everybody, you know what everybody does? I know what the problem is. You feel like you don't know how to do it. You feel like you ain't been trained. You feel like you don't have the qualifications. And that's true, you don't. Because God has never ever called anybody at any time to do anything that they was qualified to do. Amen. Glory to God. When you accept the call, the qualifications come with the call. Amen. He will equip you to do it. So if you don't step forth, you'll never get anywhere. The problem is we want to see the whole picture. Well, when you're walking by faith, you take a step at a time. God will not show you the second step until you take the first. And most folks scared to take the first step. That's why there's no change in your life, because you won't take the first step and you stay stuck. You live and die defeated, leaving a bad legacy back here for your children. They saw how raggedy you were. They saw you didn't do the right thing. There is no incentive for them to be saved. They say, why should I get saved? Why should I come to church every day? I watch mom and dad of them do that. Ain't nothing changed in their life. We're leaving a bad legacy back here. My goodness. Let's read on. Verse 11. How long, you know, Pastor, how long are you gonna perfect us till we all come into the unity of the faith? Glory to God. How close are we? Y'all answer that. How close are we? Till we all, what does all mean? Not a few of us, not just the Williams and the Harolds in unity, all of us in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children. Glory to God. Remember we were talking about maturity? That we henceforth, see, when you start getting perfected, when you start growing and maturing, you won't be a child no more. And you won't be getting offended all the time when somebody says something. Amen. That we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. So on and on and on and on. But let's go back to Mark. Glory to God. Talking about offense. We're going to grow up. We can't be offended all the time. Amen. Glory to God. We ain't got no time to lose. We ain't got time to waste. Amen. I used to love counseling. I'm not that fond of counseling anymore, because you know you spend all this time talking to people and they won't do what you know what the Lord instructs you to do. Amen. They just feeling somebody just feeling an obligation because they've been fussed into the session. You know, you can tell, you know, so most of the time both, you know, one person want to be in 100%, the other folks, you know, you can see the drag prints on them when they come in there. Amen. They don't want to be there, but they know they better be there. or else. Glory to God. And you got to do the word. And you know what? If you sit here Sunday after Sunday, hear this word of God and put it to practice, I guarantee you, you won't need not one drop of counseling. You're being counseled every Sunday. Amen. That's the truth. They're talking about the soul sow the word in 14 and 15. They're talking about Satan comes immediately. Like we're preaching, Satan will come immediately and snatch it away. You know, doing the service. And that's why, you know, I always look and I make folks stand up. Folks doing all kind of stuff, you know, head down, head sideways, all kind of stuff. Thinking about all, you know, this kind of stuff. You know, thinking about the Steve Harvey show. I mean, just thinking about all kind of stuff. The devil doing everything to snatch your imagination and your thought pattern away from the truth that's going to change your life. That's why he don't mind folks coming to church. Because they realize that I don't have them, you know, I'm going to have them daydreaming the whole time. Those that I can't get to daydream, I'm going to put to sleep. Goodness. And then it says in verse 16, y'all with me? And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Talking about the word of God. Is your heart stony? Is your ground fertile? Sown on stony ground, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. For the word of God says, you know, some people will get it, and they're just so happy. Ooh, they get testified, you know, giving honor and glory to the pastor and all of the elders, and they get so happy about it. But the word of God says, but they have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. How many folks we done seen around here like comets? They bust out on you and, they on fire. And then all of a sudden you say, what happened to Sister McGillicuddy? Why? Ain't got no root. Amen. See, you can't get a plant and move a plant every 6 months and think you're going to have a strong root system. It ain't going to work. Those that grow stuff know what I'm talking about. It ain't going to work. But they have no root in themselves, so they endure. But for a time, after what, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, the word of God says, they are offended. Oh, they're so happy until they hear something from me or you that they don't like, and they are offended, and you will see them no more. Goodness. And that's what's happening church after church around here. That's why people, preachers, scared to preach what needs to be preached, so they are compromising, so they're going to give the people what they want instead of what they need, and so they're going to hoop. And you don't mind, so you get your hoop on. I'm telling you now, I tell you that, a hooping is good. It's like chicken and waffles. It is good. Amen. But you need word to stand on. Amen. You in the middle of an emergency room, them chicken and waffles ain't going to help you. You need some word to stand on. Glory to God. You go to Dallas to TD Jake and come back with Ebola. You need some word. Them chicken and waffles that you ate in Dallas ain't going to help you. You need some word to stand on. Amen. Glory to God. So it's time for us to start being offended. Stop being offended all the time. Go to Mark chapter 6. See, offenses cause us to stumble and fall away. You allow yourself to get offended, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall right away. Can't have no strong church or mature church and the folks get offended all the time. And that's why it's you can't get nothing done in the country because everybody offended about everything. You can't have what you need to hear. You know, I'll talk about exercise, people get mad. I'll talk about weight, people get mad. You know, but it's the truth. That doesn't belie the fact that it ain't real. There ain't nobody picking on nobody. I just happened to what came up in my spirit at the time. But see, if you're not on solid rock, if you're not a strong Christian, you'll say, now, why he talking about losing weight? You know, what that got to do, with Mark 11? It's got everything to do with Mark 11. Amen. You can't separate your lifestyle from the Word of God. Amen. I had somebody that had the audacity to ask me, what's the difference between, me and the pastor? I said, ain't no difference. There's no separation. You know, it's like it's like water and wet. You get one, you get the other.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It was one and the same. I mean, they didn't mean no harm. But you just got to understand, this ain't no game. But I know folks play games. As a matter of fact, a lot of church folks are okay in church, but if you go to dinner or lunch with them, I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. No, that's church. You need to hear about it everywhere you go. You know, in other words, we got a Jesus limit. It's Sunday. Hey. What day is this? It's Tuesday. Hey. Folks got a Jesus limit. You better have him all the time. Mark chapter 6, are y'all there? Verse 2, it says, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, talking about Jesus. And many hearing him was astonished, the word of God says, saying, from whence hath this man these things? How does he know that? How does Brother Claude know that? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? Even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Now check him out. Is this not the carpenter, son of Mary? Glory to God. The brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And the word of God says, and they were offended at him. Amen. See, they were not critical of Jesus' teaching. Matter of fact, I mean, they recognized that he had great wisdom and power was manifested through him. What they were insulted about this great ministry coming from a local boy. And it's almost like we got this attitude, is that if you from here, you know, you can't be great or something. I done told y'all, I've had people so many, and I was telling y'all about folks went to Jake's and came back and talking about, you know, the subject. And I want to just slap everybody in the group. I said, y'all done heard the same. Y'all heard the same message. But see, they didn't give the same level of honor because, you know, they perceive that Jake's is a greater man than their own pastor. And so they gave it much more weight coming from there. And that's how we do. And it's like you can't be great if you, hey, it's Vicar Christian Center. It's right on the corner in the hood. Same word. Came with same power. Glory to God. Not only that, but I'm here to counsel you. I'm here to marry you and bury you. I don't care. You can put $50,000 in the offering. Ain't nobody from Dallas coming here to counsel you, marry you, or bury you. You better get that right. Amen. Nothing wrong with supporting ministries now. Don't get me wrong. But it's the way we think. It's the way we think. You know, we refuse to give somebody honor. You know, that's a local boy, you know, because that's seat up. That's Hademe boy. from Royal Coat. Glory to God. Boy, I don't know how many people have missed their blessings. They're looking at the wrong kind of glasses. Ooh, goodness. That's what happened in that. It's like, you know, you hear him talking about, ain't this the carpenter's son? They saw the works. They know great things was happening, but they wouldn't give our Savior any credit because he was one of them. How can he be greater than us? And he came from Royal Coat. Glory to God. Woo, church. Go back to Ephesians. It's like it's an unwritten rule that's in people's mind. Amen. You see it happen. You be on a program and you say you don't see your name and you know you don't recognize because you know you see these other big names in the papers. Oh yeah, we go, now who is that? Missed the whole thing. Missed the whole you missed the whole blessing because we are a respecter of persons. Glory to God. Amen. You will miss your blessing. Ephesians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go back to chapter 4. Ephesians. See, don't allow offense to be Satan's entry point into your life. Amen. Don't allow that. Let's wake up. Let's stop wasting time. Amen. We waste too much time. Amen. We only got X amount of days. Don't waste your time. Well, I'm just waiting to see what Pookie gonna do. Girl. Amen. You're wasting your time. He done showed you what he's gonna do. You know, you believe it the first time. He done showed you what he's gonna do. So you saying Pookie can't change? No, I didn't say that. Pookie can change, but Pookie gonna have to want to change in order to change. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, sometimes I want to go to somebody's seat and just grab them by their shirt or blouse and just shake them. Say, wake up! It's like a coma, like folks walking around in comas. Won't shake it off. Life, it's like, have you ever gotten, you know how it is when you merge on the interstate and you got, especially when you're going around the roundabouts, you ain't at full speed yet. And cars going by you like at the speed of a light sound like, foo, foo. That's how some people are. They are walking around in the corner and everything else going around them like the speed of light. And it's like, you know, folks in comas, spiritual comas, won't wake up, won't pray, won't come, you know, won't come to church regularly, won't come to departmental meetings like they ought to come. Just won't support the way that we need to support. You can't be great where everybody half-stepping. Amen. Time to do something. Look at somebody say, it's time to do something. Amen. Glory to God. Wake up. Goodness. Verse 26. Now the word of God says there, be angry, sin not. So, you know, it's okay to get a little upset, but don't let it lead into sin. You know, you got mad, now you're cussing everybody out. You're cussing each other out. Don't let it get like that. Because who win that? Nobody win that but the devil. How does that glorify God? We done got mad and we get angry. How's that mad? I have your daughter come and sit on the front row. You get mad at me, cuss me out, and then won't come back to church no more. How's that? Who win that? But see, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to disagree, as I said earlier. But don't fall out about it. And say, all right, you know, we just ain't, you know, we ain't together on this. But, you know, we together on where, you know, the direction that we're going. But this particular point here, we just ain't together on it. It's like, they're planning another trip and stuff. Don't mess the meeting up because you don't want to go on the cruise or wherever folks are going. Say, well, you know, that just ain't for me, you know, because you say, I don't like the cruise, you know. I'm afraid of that water. Okay. Well, you have to go on one of them land trips then. Don't mess up the whole meeting. Glory to God. Just say, well, you know, let the devil, you know, make the devil a lie. Say, I'm going to help somebody else go. But, you know, if everybody can't have their way, it's just like that's what happened in Congress. You don't get your way, they'll shut the government down. See all this foolishness going on? If folks ain't getting their way, shutting it down. Don't care about your Social Security coming. I ain't get my way. Bump you. You ain't getting no Social Security check. We shutting this thing down. That ain't nothing but demonic selfishness. You can't have your way, ain't nobody getting nothing. It's like when you're being married, you got mad, you know, so you ain't paying the rent. Who you think you hurt? You hurting your family. I ain't paying no rent. Please. That's how we do. We allow the devil to win. You live with somebody long enough, you are not going to agree on everything. Matter of fact, sometimes it's a lot of stuff. Amen. And I'm going to let y'all behind the curtain a little bit. I want a bigger house. My wife's not sure she want a bigger house. Amen. I say, honey, God give us a bigger house. You know what? I say, well, let's just hire somebody to clean it. You know, you get tired of cooking. I say, you know what? God's a bit good. Maybe we can hire a cook. See, that's how I be thinking. Glory to God. Now, we ain't arguing about no house. Now, the only thing, oh, Reverend Ma. Now, we ain't arguing about no house. But I need more room. Amen. I do. Amen. It was a big house at one time. It just shrunk. I don't know what happened. Glory to God. Amen. Because you got to have bedrooms when your children come home or visitors come over and stuff. You know, I need a place for just the office. Amen. Glory to God. I like to have me a little exercise room. Amen. So I can, you know, work on the six pack. Amen. Y'all need to work on y'all's too. Lord. Glory to God. Amen. But she don't have an anchor down to slow nothing up, though. Let me tell you. See, it's different. If she had an anchor down and say, I ain't touching, I ain't green, it ain't happening. She ain't, you know, that ain't it. Most times when folks don't get their way, what do? They drop anchor. This boat ain't moving no further. Glory to God. I tell you what, we get a bigger house, you'd be one of the most happiest people in Powell's County. You're saying, boy, we got all of this room. Glory to God. Amen. So I'm entertaining more. Y'all know how y'all like to come to people's house, eat up their food and stuff. Glory to God. Woo! Be angry and sin not. Look what it says in 27. And neither give place to the devil. How do you give place to him? By yielding to him. Amen. So we got to get away from this being offense. Here's some of the things that happens. If you get offended, as it said in Mark 4, you know, he steals the word from you. He'll just steal it from you. Number two, offense will block the power and anointing of God in your life. Ain't no power get in there. You offended. You mad at the preacher. You mad at the elders. You mad at your fellow church member. Why do you think that we stay sick longer than we should be sick? Why do you think that we stay broken than longer than we's broke? There is somewhere, there's some alt, there's some unforgiveness, there's some strife that's going on that's keeping your healing, your prosperity in check. All these things are luxuries that you can't afford. Offenses will affect the quality of your life. Not only that, but it mess with your head. It mess with your mental stability. When you mad all the time. Angry all the time. Oh, you know, it mess with your psyche. Your body's not designed to carry this anger and this offense around day after day after day after day. It started affecting your mind and it started affecting your body. Your body started breaking down. So let that stuff, look at somebody and say, let it go. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. It destroys, offense destroys personal relationship. You have folks been friends all their life, get offended, don't even talk to each other. Been brothers for 20 years. Won't even talk. You know, see each other at the red light and act like the car invisible. Looking straight ahead. Know how you look every time you get the red light. You looking right and left, all at the people. Ooh, he look good, don't he? Now you know who next to you. Now you acting like the car and them are invisible. That's what strife will do, saints of God, when you get offended to do that. My goodness. Mess up your personal relationship. Amen. As I said earlier, mess up your health. A lot of folks die with hatred in their heart. They die with hatred in their heart. My, my, my. Amen. So what you going to do? Amen. So you're going to decide you're going to let go of offenses. You ain't holding on to that. Too heavy a barrel. You know, I started to bring some weights. I got some 35-pound, don't sound like a lot, 35-pound barbells. But that's ain't heavy. You walk around with a 35-pound barbell and see how heavy it is. Amen. It's heavy. That's how it is with an offense. And you're walking around with that 35-pound barbell every day in the form of an offense. It's heavy. It'll wear you out. Physically wear you out. It mentally wears you out. Spiritually wears you out. So let stuff go. Amen. You have to do it. I have to practice it on a regular basis. You know, I have to get that stuff out. So let it go, saints of God. Amen. A lot of times, you know what, the truth be told, a lot of times when, not all the time, but a lot of times when somebody offends you, they really don't even know you are offended. Now, some folks, the devil and God in them, and they set out to offend you. But most of the time, folks don't even realize that they have offended you. Praise God. See, whether or not, now check this out, this will help you out. Whether or not the offender repents is irrelevant. It's what do you do? That's what's relevant, saints of God. Amen. So ask God, you know, to give you grace, to help you to let it go. Amen. It's serious, saints of God. It's serious. I wanted to get into fear. I really don't have time back into fear. But I needed to take this side. Well, it wasn't a side. This was the main road. This was the interstate. Amen. You can't be offended. It's always messing the house of God up with folks getting offended. I want to be in the head of that group. Why you put her in the head? She just joined the church, you know, 6 months ago. You know, I've been here 10 years. But you ain't did nothing in 10 years. You know, just sitting there, and then what you do, you won't do it right. You want to do it the way you want to do it, rather than the way I want it done. So now we got somebody that's yielded and want to do it, so you're going to fall out with them and me. Goodness. Woo. My, my, my. See, sometimes you can get folks to do it, but they want to do it their way. You need to find out, what way do I want it done? Can you handle that? Now, sometimes, you know, and most of the time, I don't mind folks doing a little freestyling, but you got to have some guidelines. Amen. Well, I ain't going to do it. If you ain't going to let me do it the way I want to, okay. Okay. I'm feeling you. Glory to God. Amen. I'm feeling you. Amen. Conditions. Amen. Love has got to be unconditional. I love my wife unconditional. She loves me unconditional. We both got faults. It's unconditional love. It's not I love you if. You know, I don't know, go home and say, well, if, you know, if you drop 10 pounds, I'll love you more. You know, if she don't be saying, if you drop 10 pounds, I love you more, you know. It's got to be unconditional. It's a God kind of love. It's unconditional. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Anybody need prayer for offensive to learn how to get over them quicker? Amen. Come down. What's the battle? It is. Praise God. Amen. You stop right there. Praise God. How to get over stuff quicker. Otherwise, if you don't, the enemy will just eat you up. We're going to make a confession, and I'm just going to lay hands on everybody. If you're having trouble with offense, you know, just don't. You're having trouble just letting stuff just linger. Like you know how you cook fish and it just be in the air? Glory to God, glory to God. The devil is a liar. Liar, 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 liar. Folks getting free today. I'm telling you, folks getting free today. Folks are getting free. Praise God. Folks are getting free from this offense today. Folks are moving on. That hole is broken. That hole is broken today. And it'll never come back again. Praise God. Praise God. The Word of God says in Revelation, and they overcame him by the word of by their word, amen, and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so the words that are coming out of you all mouth this morning after we make this confession is what's going to set you free. Amen? Praise God. So you can't limit God to that hands got to be laid on you every time for you to get something. In other words, a lot of times, what did Jesus do? He just spoke to a situation. Amen. So what we do, this offense is a mountain. Mark 11:23 says what to the mountain? Speak to it. Speak to it. Speak to it. Praise God. So let's speak to this mountain. Y'all repeat after me and say, Father,
Father,
I speak to this mountain
that's called offense.
And in the name of Jesus,
I take control
over my feelings,
over offense.
From this day forward,
I'm not
going to
walk in offense.
I'm not letting the devil
take control of my life,
take control of my feelings,
take control of my mind,
take control of my attitude,
or take control of my being.
The man of God
has touched me.
I'm in agreement with him
that I'm free.
Whom the Son set free
is free indeed.
Thank you, Father,
for giving me the strength
and the wisdom
not to be offended.
But when offense comes,
I will quickly
cast it down.
I will not be an avenue
for the devil to come to and fro.
I am a woman of God.
I stand on his word.
No weapon formed against me,
no weapon formed against my thoughts
will ever prosper.
I leave here free.
My mind is free.
My spirit is free.
My thoughts are free.
No more offense
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Walk in your freedom.
Walk in your freedom.
Walk in your freedom.
Thank you, Lord God.
Walk in your freedom.
Amen.
Walk in your freedom.
Glory to God.
Walk in your freedom.
If you do that, we'll start becoming a more powerful church by Wednesday.
We'll see the fruit by Wednesday.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
My.
All right. Just before we close, are there any testimonies? Anybody got any praise report you want to share? Anything happened during the service or during the prayer or during the week that you quickly want to share that you want to give God glory for? Sister Jean.
Yes.
Woo.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
And they extended his insurance. His wife moved so quick that she got with the same day. Praise God. God is great.
Woo! Come on. Come on. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Ah. Woo. Amen. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Woo. Amen. That's what the psalmist says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. My, my, my. That's why we get excited around here. Amen. Amen. As same Psalms say, he has done great things. He has done great things. Ooh, goodness. Praise God. You got a testimony, sister? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Yes. Praise God. Praise God, yes. Praise God. Go ahead, sister. Yes. You want to come up? You can come up here if you want, or if you want to stand there with a mic, it's fine, but you're certainly welcome in the pulpit. This is not one of those anti-women in the pulpit church. It's over near Jair. Is there a microphone by you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor, I'm honored to even be in your presence.
Thank you.
God for the teaching.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. You know when it come directly from God. Amen. And that word today came off the desk, press of
yes.
God.
Praise
Amen.
God.
It truly
Amen.
Blessed.
God
I don't think
glory.
Me and my husband's life would ever be the same.
Praise God.
That word Woo. Was awesome
Praise
today.
God.
Amen. But I don't want to hold up your time, and I do want to share my testimony. I had a massive stroke, was completely paralyzed. If I didn't show you, you wouldn't know it. I had to learn how to talk all over again, walk.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
My oldest son, when he got to the hospital, I actually could hear the conversation, but I was going in and out. When my oldest son got to the hospital, he ended up saying, go ahead on and pull the plug, because the doctor said that I would be a vegetable. My other son, that's now as a minister of divine destiny.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
At this time, my son was 16 years old, and I ended up having another son that was 5. So my oldest son was one of the gang leaders, and he said he didn't want me to be a vegetable, so he told him to pull the plug. At this time, I didn't have the husband I have now. So the oldest child, that decision falls in their hand. Well, God hid the oldest son when it was time to do the paperwork so that a 16-year-old son had to make the decision. And that 16-year-old son of mine had the faith.
Woo.
He walked home with the 5-year-old son on his back. And he said, Mama, by the time I got home, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't pull that plug. So when he came back to the hospital, they put a demand on him. They said, since we told you that she wasn't going to make it through the night. She made it, but she's not good. It's not good for her. Her brain is bleeding. And we won't put good physical therapy or no kind of therapy into a bad situation.
Mama.
Want you to know, my son said, I'll take her home just like she is.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo. I was drooling at the mouth, hand closed, leg dragging, brain continued to bleed. But God. 16-year-old son was just up to do some work, and I end up having a business, so this stroke happened. I end up with 80 cleaning accounts, and my son had to run the business, see after me and the 5-year-old boy. Still tried to fight for physical therapy. They wouldn't give me any. So my son went to the library, and he got a book, and this is the result of him praying with oil. Work in my hand.
Man. Wow.
And now they're telling me that by him not knowing what he was doing, that it created a nerve damage disease. And 6 months ago, I got a report. This is my daughter that's been seeing about me and taking care
praise
of me.
Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Because my sons are up in Gainesville and they're full-time ministers for the Lord.
Glory.
And God sent me. I always wanted a daughter, and God sent me her. A lot of times she's seen me when she thought that not, we thought that I was breathing my last breath, but God. So the doctors said that they done all they could do. And I want to encourage you, Mother, that the stroke was not only thing. I ended up with stage 4 cancer because the doctors had told me don't have another child, and I had the 5-year-old child. And it ended up bringing on stage 4 cancer. But I'm cancer-free.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Keep the faith, Mother. Keep the faith. Mustard seed faith. And I've been cancer-free 21 years.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
And I thank God for you
thank
all
you.
Here
thank
receiving
you, Lord me. God. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, sister. Amen. Thank you, God. Y'all stand up and praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa! Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. My goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord God. He has done great things. Great things. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord will confirm his word with signs following, thanks to God. Amen. See, God is looking for believers. Believers. And if we walk in fear, amen, we'll never get those kind of results. That's why we're teaching on fear. You got to let that fear go. Amen. Because we'll start hearing these kind of testimonies every Sunday about what God did in your life and family members' life. Amen. We come in here with a right attitude and praise him right. Come in with a right attitude that God, you know, we're expecting for you to move today. Glory to God. Come in here with a right attitude that you let your word go forth boldly and accurately and with power. And you'll see some great things in here. Not some Sundays, not some Wednesdays, but I'm talking about every Sunday, every Wednesday. God is just that big. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. That's why we act wild like we do. Glory to God. Sometimes we don't know what else to do. We just take off running. Glory to God. My, my, my. Woo! Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's powerful. That is powerful. That is powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh,
goodness, goodness, goodness. Thank you, Jesus.
And other stories that people can share about the miraculous things God has done in their lives.
Yes.
Is that He gave her victory.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. It's so good, saints, for y'all to hear how the Word of God is working. And working mightily in people's lives. I'm telling you, saints, God, this Christian life is real. Yes, is. Amen. You got to get serious about it, you know. And you know that's why we had the word that we are the church unusual. In other words, it shouldn't be just just come. It's like just a routine. You come and plop your money in the basket and you go home. I'm telling you, the power of God. God longs to bless. His people longs to drive disease out of our bodies and poverty from our midst. And that's just us accepting what Jesus already did for us at Calvary. Amen. So when you get serious about it, good things happen to you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to close here.